And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots.
Welcome to Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan. And I'm joined by El Nino himself. He's the kid. He's also the god. He is also the legend. Celtics beat reporter from The Athletic, Jay King. Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Longmeadow, Massachusetts, Skidmore basketball legend, the round mound of rebound. I'm running out of nicknames to give to him.
Amount of downtown, more like
downtown,
it.
Beacon Hill's finest. I didn't mean to dox you there. Sorry, Jay King. We can bleep that. But how you doing, Jay? You are back from Las Vegas, where you got to watch all the Celtics hopefuls, all those guys who are likely going to be on the Celtics next year. You know, you probably paddle
actually
around.
Most of them likely won't be on the Celtics next year.
I know that was my that was the joke I was going for. Because I'm gonna be honest with the listeners. I think I watched about 6 minutes of Summer League. I think my greatest highlight was when JD Davidson allegedly might have pooped his pants, but we can talk about it later. We can focus now on the basketball.
I did dig into that. I did have to do some. I did some real journalism there.
And, well, let's just get into it now.
Let me just say, I couldn't tell for sure whether he did or didn't poop his pants. I didn't confirm one way or another.
You could not get two sources to lock
it down.
I'm
not sure the truth was out there. I didn't ask him specifically.
Well, that would be uncalled for. That'd be uncouth.
Yeah. So I asked behind his back. And let's just say the verdict is still out.
All right. That's good
but
to know.
I wanted the people to know I did try to do the hard-hitting journalism, the hard-shitting journalism, if you will.
Oh, that's why he's the best in the game, folks. That's why you come to The Athletic. That's why you come to Anything Is Potable, because he's going to go to Las Vegas and ask the important questions. Now, you were there. You got to see – you got to pal around with your – probably hung out with Brian Windhorst and your other fancy friends.
I didn't see Windy out there, actually.
That's too bad. He's a lovely individual. But you actually watched some Celtics games. Summer League game. Obviously, I think Jordan Walsh is the big focus because it seems like he is just a super athletic individual. I may not have watched all the Summer League games, but I've seen certainly clips of him being just super athletic and even just doing some things on offense. He didn't really knock down a lot of shots or score a lot of points, but I just liked his ability to create some space.
He did last night. We're recording on Thursday night. So Wednesday night, he got hot. He got a little hot.
They went on a big run. They beat the Lakers, I believe. Have I my information correctly?
That third quarter was everything to love about Jordan Walsh as a prospect. He was picking up the ball handlers. He was disrupting everything the Lakers tried to do. He was jumping into shots confidently. And once he got hot, it seemed like the reluctance to shoot that he had last year at Arkansas just melted away. And he was confident. He was looking for his own offense. And he totally changed the game and did it while just screaming and yelling and being kind of a maniac.
Kind of a lunatic. A competitive maniac. Kind of like that. Like, gotten really hype about it was like an 11-0 run. And just screaming his ears off, which I like that. I like my summer league competitors to be a little bit crazy. And
because if you're crazy at summer league, when the outcome really doesn't matter.
No, not at all.
then you're going to be crazy forever. Like, you're just crazy.
You're just a crazy guy who loves playing, like, loves playing good basketball and hard-nosed basketball. And I think that it's really hard to take anything away from, like, anything that really happens in a summer league game.
The only thing
you can do is, like, if a second-year player comes and dominates, you know they don't suck. Like, you know that they, like, have some sort of NBA experience, but that's about it. If a second-year player comes or a third-year player and they don't play well, that's a bad sign. But I feel like that's the only real takeaways, because we've seen plenty of players have amazing summer league seasons, but it's just really an entirely different brand of basketball. It's more of an NBA conference at this point. They actually had NBA Con this year. I don't know if you showed up to the comp. How is the Sphere? Everyone's talking about the Sphere, Jay. We haven't even talked about the Sphere.
So the Sphere, it was funny because for someone who's allegedly a journalist, I should be perceptive. I should be looking for details.
You didn't even notice the Sphere.
Aware of all my surroundings. I swear, I did not notice the Sphere. And then we were talking about it on one of the Athletic NBA shows, and Zach Harper was talking about the Sphere. I had no clue what he was talking about. And then we walked outside, and I still didn't notice
the Sphere.
I still didn't notice it. And then he's like, do you see that thing with the bouncing basketballs? It's like as big as half the city. And I looked over, and I have no idea how I missed it. The Sphere is enormous. And it was a lot. It was a lot. I'm a fan, though. I'm a fan. There's a lot you can do with a sphere of that size.
Go on. Tell me three things you can do with a sphere of that size.
I really don't know, because I only saw it that one time. It's just bouncing basketballs everywhere.
Okay, let's get back to the true hoop heads are furious right now that we didn't are not breaking down the summer league X's and O's. I'm gonna ask you to do the dumb thing I just said we can't do. Let's extrapolate from summer league about Jordan Walsh. Given the Celtics' depth basically on the wing, what did we refer to you as earlier in the season? A basketball genius? Or you had a great basketball mind?
I don't think
mind.
We ever referred to me as that, but I'll take it.
I think we said you had a great basketball mind or something like that. But
I'm
from
sure
your...
I said that. I'm not sure if anyone else said that.
It doesn't sound like something I would volunteer as information, but I'm sure you would have said it about yourself. But as a basketball genius, watching Jordan Walsh play in summer league, do you think he has a chance to... I don't think crack the rotation. I feel like that's even kind of a lofty expectation. But is he going to get minutes with the Celtics? We have no idea how Joe Mazzulla deals with rookies at this point.
Yeah. So at this point, I literally just finished writing a story of projecting the Celtics rotation, and in it, he did not have any minutes at all. So I think it's far fetched to think that when the Celtics are healthy, he'll play at all. Where he could play is when they're load managing Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, or when they're dealing with one injury on the wing, because their wing depth does dry up pretty quickly. And, you know, it's O'Shea Brissett, it's Sam Hauser, and then really not much on the wing. Delano Banton.
Oh, I've already forgot the new guy, the other guy who's in summer league. I want to call him Dean Blandino, but that's, yeah, Delano Banton. Who's Dean Blandino?
Not Dean Blandino.
But who is Dean Blandino?
Isn't
why do I have
the ref?
That
the football ref?
Oh, was he had to do with Deflategate or something?
Who
was he definitely was an NFL ref, but I don't know why he's why he's in my brain.
He's the rules analyst for Fox Sports. He used to be the NFL's vice president of officiating.
How did Dean Blandino look at Summer League?
Dean Blandino he only played one game so far. He's super intriguing, just an interesting player, because he's 6'9" with super long arms and can genuinely do point guard stuff. Like, he's a super ball handler, pretty quick, can slash into the paint. I don't know if he'll ever amount to anything, because he can't really shoot. He doesn't even really try to shoot. He doesn't have a ton of, like,
Self-awareness is good, though.
When he's finishing at the rim. So there's like, but it's, he has a weird, funky, cool mix of attributes that could one day turn him into a player, like with just a few small tweaks here and there.
And he can defend just from, so he's basically like Ben Simmons.
I would not say he's like Ben. Ben Simmons was an all-star. He was an all-NBA player,
wasn't he? I
said
like. Like is doing some heavy lifting in the simile right now.
Like is doing a lot of lifting. More of a slow-mo, Kyle Anderson type.
Okay.
Where you're like, why is this 6'9 dude getting where he wants off the dribble? Why is he more of a point guard than like a spot up shooter, like just that weird type of connective game that we'll see if it fits. We'll see if he can make the few tweaks that will make him an NBA player, but he's one of those guys. Like if he hits, he could really hit because he does have like just abnormal size for someone who can handle the ball and see the court like he does.
I'm just trying to think of like what, you did this article about the rotation. Does JV, like we can be somewhat respectful to JV Davidson and talk about his on the court performance instead of just the alleged poop in his pants. Right now, the point guard looks pretty thin. I mean, like one, I'm curious how many minutes you thought Peyton Pritchard is going to be getting a game. And as JV Davidson like made it, so it's like, is he the next guy off the bench there? Is he actually going to get, say there's just an injury to Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, or Peyton Pritchard, do we see JV Davidson maybe getting minutes in a rotation role? Has he improved enough? Or is he just like the main, I still want to call him the Red Claws. Main Celtics is a dumb name, but is he just a main Celtics all-star at this point?
Probably just a main Celtics all-star. So in the rotation projection, I didn't expect this. I didn't have Peyton Pritchard down for a single minute.
What?
Yeah. And I think obviously, depending on circumstance, that could absolutely be wrong. But I had Sam Hauser playing, I think it was like 18 minutes a game off the bench. I had Brissett playing 12 minutes a game off the bench. And Malcolm Brogdon playing 24 minutes a game off the bench.
How many did you give Al? Is Al a starter in your projection?
Al 24, Robert Williams 24. Like it wasn't a ton for those guys. I wanted to limit the minutes for those guys. But like I don't know if the Celtics will have a ton of time still for Peyton Pritchard, because to me, they went out and just they wanted to get bigger. They wanted to play bigger lineups. They're going to lean into Porzingis at the four and or Al Horford at the four or whatever. And just play huge. And I'm probably wrong. Like my projection is probably wrong. Peyton Pritchard will probably play some, certainly when Malcolm Brogdon is out. If he's not healthy right now, which he might not be right now, then that could totally change. But I don't think, after going through the exercise, I don't think it's a given that Peyton Pritchard has like a regular nightly role, because I do think Brissett could play backup four, Hauser could play backup three, and then Brogdon can be the only guard off the bench, with Derek White having like a slight uptick in minutes from what he did last season. But let's talk about Jordan Walsh a little bit more, because it is summer league and it is a time to overreact, and he has looked very good. I think
can he defend? Tell me about like, oh, can he defend at an NBA level? Because I'm just thinking of like how, we don't know how Joe Mazzulla deals with guards, but in the Brad Stevens era, no matter how like good of a shooter you were, no matter how like much of an offensive talent, Brad would not put you in unless you could at least hold your own on the defensive end as a younger player. And I feels like Joe Mazzulla has borrowed a lot of his coaching approach from Brad Stevens, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him do the same. He does seem to be more of an offensive coach, but if you're just getting blown by on the defensive end, you're probably not going to get minutes. And so is
that
Jordan Walsh ready?
That is not what will happen with Jordan Walsh.
He's ready to come in and play defense today.
There will be times when he's not strong enough because he's a teenager and still hasn't really filled out yet, but he's 6'6 or 6'7. He has a 7'2" wingspan and he has super quick feet for a big wing. And he's aggressive too. Like he will pick up the ball at half court and he'll be in you. And that's
the most. Is that going to mean dumb fouls though? Is he a dumb foul candidate?
Yes, he will probably be I don't know if a dumb foul, more of like an aggressive foul type of guy.
High effort foul.
Yeah, like Grant Williams used to be a aggressive foul type of guy early in his career. He fouled everyone his first year. And I could absolutely see Jordan Walsh, when he does get chances, just picking him up left and right.
He's going to fall for every DeMar DeRozan pump fake that exists.
Yeah, as guys just use his aggression against him. But that's the most intriguing part of his game is his defense and his ability to guard point guards to big forwards, like just everybody. I think the defensive versatility and the defensive playmaking with, you know, steals from behind, steals where he just pokes it away from the ball handler, like just all sorts of plays that he can make because he is long and aggressive and tough. And at the other end, he couldn't shoot last season. It seems like they just told him basically, don't shoot, bro. that's not your role here.
Well, they had like four other guys on that roster are all like NBA prospects, right?
Yeah, they had a really good team. And it clearly, like, he was not looked at as a scorer there. Didn't do a lot of scoring, but it seems like they basically told him, don't shoot. And the Celtics are trying to reverse that. Like, Jordan, it's time to shoot now. It's time to let it fly when you're open. It's time to spot up and actually look at the hoop instead of just pump faking and Kelly Olynyk-ing your way out of a wide open jumper. Kelly doesn't really do that anymore, but Kelly in the Celtics days used to do that. And so it'll be interesting to see whether he ever develops a consistent 3-point shot. If he does, then he's really intriguing because he has a lot of handle for a wing his size, especially a teenage wing his size. There aren't a lot of guys 6'7 at his age that can go behind the back with ease, like can really like put dribble moves together. And
he should just be in the corner.
He still needs to put on a lot of weight and learn how to finish and finish through contact and all that stuff. He's still very early in his career trajectory. But he just does a lot of intriguing stuff and stuff that could contribute to winning one day. And he also seems to be the type of guy who just cares about winning. Like, it's not about stats to him. It's not about, you know, can I score 30 tonight? It's just, can I do whatever it takes to win, which is cool. And I think that's why part of the reason why his stats were so low at Arkansas was because he was willing to sacrifice and do what the coaching staff asked him to do. And it probably didn't always look great for him individually, but he was just doing whatever they told him to do. I think Walsh has looked good. He's a known kid favorite.
I mean, you were big on him before the draft. You were the kid's number one target. Did you get a chance to interview him in Las Vegas? Is he a good quote or is he just a 19-year-old kid?
I wouldn't say he's a good quote, but he's a very positive energy personality.
That's
good. He just seems like he's just very positive guy. Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to knock him out of like positive energy. So,
is there anyone on the Celtics Summer League roster right now who you would describe as a good quote? how did Team Transcribe do when they were in Vegas? So did anyone be like, oh, this is a doozy? Someone said something really interesting here.
Nope.
Did Brad talk while he was out in Vegas? Did you see him?
I wasn't out there. So Brad spoke last night. I was already back in Boston at that point.
But he talked about adding depth as like still wanting to something he wants to accomplish for the Celtics. They still have some roster spots to fill out, I'm assuming, with some veteran minimum contracts. Will we see the return of Blake Griffin? Will we see the return of Luke Kornet? Lord,
they
I
also
so.
Have a trade exception to use too, and obviously they'll want to stay under the second apron if they do use it, and it'll kind of be a tightrope, but they'll have some like room to chase somebody who's a little more than the minimum if they want to go out there and trade for somebody. And obviously I think they're good on guards, because I do think Peyton Pritchard can play, and you're totally fine if Pritchard is in the rotation. I think they're obviously like they should feel comfortable with their big man rotation. Obviously, Porzingis and Robert Williams especially are injury risks, and Al Horford is 37. So things could go wrong there, but they should feel pretty happy about that if they do bring back like Cornett or somebody for depth who they can rely on when they're shorthanded. Seems to me like forward, and especially like a bigger forward, just a wing spot is where I would want to add if I were Brad. And I think that's where the Celtics do want to add, is just more depth to compete for minutes with like Brissett, Hauser in that spot, and to just spell Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because obviously part of the objective for this year should be limiting the minutes those guys played, especially early last season when Tatum was like number two in minutes in the league for a long time. And
here we go, the J King, Jason Tatum minutes agenda.
Well, do you know what happened that was really weird after the All-Star break last year?
No, I don't.
The Celtics were better with Jason Tatum on the bench than they were with him on the court. Do you know what really slipped late in the year last year? The defensive rating when Tatum was on the court.
Are you blaming this on Jason Tatum's minutes?
Do you think it's possible that he was tired after playing a whole lot of basketball over the last few years? I don't want to get in this again, but you drag me into it.
But it's certainly potable.
You drag me into it.
I've been just thinking about this as we're talking. You mentioned you did your rotation thing. The Celtics are going to lean into playing Porzingis at the four. I'm still skeptical of it. Do you think Porzingis fits next to Robert Williams?
Yes. Yes, I do.
On the offensive end, do you think there's enough spacing there?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You seem very confident about this. Explain yourself, sir.
Porzingis. Okay, so did you feel like there was enough space when Marcus Smart was on the court and Robert Williams was on the court and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Well, Porzingis is a better shooter. He's a more dangerous threat off the bounce.
He's a more dangerous threat off the bounce?
Like shooting? Like putting it on the floor, shooting in your face?
He's not like driving and like attacking closeouts. That's not my understanding of Chris Tapp's Porzingis.
Porzingis can do some of that. I mean, he's not going to be running pick and rolls like Marcus Smart did, but I think the amount of game that he has at 7'3" is alarming, and the ability to shoot and space the court, I think it's going to work really well with Robert Williams. And I think the minutes that he played with Daniel Gafford last year are super promising on both ends of the court. That was a great, great duo for the Wizards last year. And Gafford's not as good as Robert Williams is.
Oh, you're not giving the Gaff man enough credit here.
Gafford, he's a similar type player, though. He's going to be rolling to the rim. He's going to be catching lobs. He's going to be doing all that. And they were awesome, and their offense was awesome during those minutes. So the Celtics will have to figure some stuff out, because Porzingis is definitely far more of a scorer than Marcus Smart was. And Marcus Smart was the connective piece for them in a lot of different lineups. And they're going to have to figure out just how to incorporate another high usage scorer into the mix, because they haven't really had that since Kemba Walker was there. And when Kemba Walker was there, Tatum and Brown were in totally different parts of their careers before they really emerged as all NBA guys. So they got a lot to figure out, but I think Porzingis at the four is going to be awesome. I think him with Robert Williams has a chance to just engulf teams at the rim, have tons of size everywhere, and and be really freaking good. And I think that's why the Celtics targeted Porzingis and were so excited about him in particular, because he can play the four, he can play the five, and there aren't many guys who can pull that off, and especially pull that off next to Robert Williams, who's definitely a five, and Al Horford, who's not as much of a four as he used to be, but his versatility at both ends of the court, but especially offensively, is like, that's, it's going to be dynamite. I think that's going to be an awesome, awesome look.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Do you think there's ever going to be a lineup where it's just full giants and the smallest person on the court for the Celtics is Jaylen Brown? Like, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are playing the one and the two. They don't think they, like, maybe they're on O'Shea Brissett out there.
Maybe like Hauser?
Or Hauser. I'm just thinking if, like, Marcus Smart was you could hide a smaller guy on him, but if Jaylen Brown is your smallest guy out there on offense, there's really just, like, nowhere for any guards to kind of hide. And, like, I don't really think Jason Tatum had any opportunities to, like, take advantage of, like, mismatches because he was playing the four so much, and there's just, like, guys who can you can guard. So this is just crazy summer league talk right now, but I'm thinking of just, like, I don't think Porzingis can really play the three, but could they have a situation where they just have super huge lineups with Porzingis and really try to take advantage of their size advantage?
You could probably try it. I think one of the things that Celtics would kind of have to take care of this year is just keeping enough ball handling on the court. And I think you can definitely get away with, like, Derek White, Brown, and Tatum with Porzingis and whoever. That works, but if you go to Jaylen Brown as your smallest, even if Tatum's out there as...
It would have to be like Tatum as the point guard.
Like, Tatum runs point guard sometimes, and I think the idea now will probably be to have him run more point guard than he's run in the past and hope that he's ready for that and believe that he is. But... And he's typically, like, handled that pretty well when he's had to have more ball handling responsibilities, but, like, you'll have to have playmaking around him, and I don't know if if any of those big lineups would have that. Because if Hauser's at the three, shooting, yes, absolutely. There's tons of that, but then you're really relying on Tatum a lot and Brown too to handle the ball. And then if you go Brissett, it's even more. So I don't know. Maybe whoever, if they do get another big wing, maybe he can handle. Maybe it's Delano Banton.
Maybe it is Delano Banton.
And he's the 6'9 ball handler. And he pieces some stuff together for them. I don't know. I have no idea.
Blandino himself. I like that.
Dean Blandino.
Any other standouts or people from Celtics Summer League that I should know about, and the listeners should know about? Anyone who caught your eye? A cool dunk, maybe.
Jay Scrub.
Coaches wearing weird blue polo shirts. Tell me what happened. Sights and sounds of Summer League that I may have missed.
Jay Scrub has been very good. And he's just
going to get a two-way contract.
Point guard. I think
they get 3 two-way contracts now, right? In the new CBA,
3 of them things. Yeah, JD Davison has one of them, and yeah, Scrub is intriguing. I don't know if they'd want another point guard on a two-way contract just because they do have Davison, and it's probably not a position of need. He might just be basically auditioning for other teams at this point, but he's been as good as any of their guards, and he gets to the rim. He's been scoring efficiently. He can really run a pick and roll. He's like watching Jay Scrub because of all the gifts that he has. How tough is it to make the NBA, man? Like this dude, he had a cup of coffee in the league, but he's just like bouncing around to summer league teams. It's like, how difficult, how good do you have to be to actually make it in the NBA and actually be a lead ball handler in the league? It's crazy how good you have to be. But Jay Scrub,
his name's working against him. You hear a name like Jay Scrub and you think, man,
I think of myself.
Might be a scrub. I did think there's a connection to you because you are a scrub.
And I am a scrub.
What'd you think about Tony Dobbins' ATOs? How'd you evaluate his coaching?
So the one thing that stood out most is, and I've known obviously Tony, he's been on staff for a while. He's super awesome dude and just super well-meaning dude. And just the amount that he loves his players comes through. Like when he was talking about Jay Scrub, he said that he told Scrub, like, basically, like, I see a gift in you. I want to help you. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that other teams see what I see in you, which is just cool. Like, and as a player, that's got to be super empowering to have your coach tell you that.
That's what you need in a summer league coach, because like everyone's fighting there. It's everyone like trying to make a dream, and like you need all the support you can get in that point. So that is cool to hear.
Yeah. So that's the stuff that stood out about Tony. Not as much. Obviously, it's summer league. Like, who cares if they win? Who cares? I don't care what he does actually as a coach. I certainly have not been paying attention to his ATOs. But all that stuff and the support he's shown for Scrub, for Jordan Walsh, for JD Davison has just been like very obvious that he takes great care in helping guys progress and reach the next level of their careers. And I think the Celtics staff is full of guys like that, but Tony, like, just his genuine nature comes across.
Was he good at calling timely timeouts?
I genuinely don't know. He hasn't had too many opportunities. Doesn't matter.
Did you see my boy Rick out there coaching for the Hornets?
I watched the Hornets, but I didn't see him at all, which was unfortunate. Oh. I feel like I always run into him at Summer League, but I didn't this year.
Well, I was going to blow up his spot but saying something about him, but I won't, because this podcast is listened to by people. We are talking about Summer League. You were there. Did you have a take on the Victor Wembanyama versus Britney Spears altercation?
No, I did not have.
You had no take. You had zero reaction to that being Victor Wembanyama's introduction to the league, and then Britney Spears fans watching his terrible first performance and just like celebrating it on Twitter. You had zero response to that.
No, I really didn't.
Guy didn't even notice the sphere. I don't know why I'm asking these questions. Honestly,
it seemed to me like all sides in that had a point. Like Victor, I see why he wasn't going to stop for some pop star that he's never heard of. He had no clue who that was. And to him, he was just getting tapped on by some random fan who should not have been touching him. Britney, yeah.
Doesn't want to get slapped in the face.
She was one of the most famous people on planet Earth for a while. She got kind of like flailed at in the face. I don't know if slap is the word I would say. So I understand why she was pissed off. I don't think she really embellished too much. And the security,
she didn't flop. You're saying she was not going to get fined for flopping?
The security guard, like he could have taken more care to not like flail at somebody and hit them in the face. But he was also trying to just keep it moving and keep it away from a crowd in a arena where Victor Wembanyama was just getting swarmed by people.
We're going to get litigious here, liability does fall on the security guard there. He had the duty of care.
Nobody charged him with anything. He's clear to go.
I'm not talking about charge. I'm talking about litigation, my friend. I'm talking about a lawsuit, damages. I'm saying if we needed to get litigious, I was prepared to not Victor. I don't think Victor did anything wrong. I don't think he really understood what was happening whatsoever. Did you get a chance to actually see him play basketball in person? And what is it like watching a giant play basketball?
I did. So my new lane on Twitter is
Yeah, I love this lane.
My new lane on Twitter is trolling like Victor Wembanyama stinks. And so far
people just don't get it, and it's awesome.
Nobody has realized, like I compared him to a malnourished Andre Drummond. And people thought I was 100% serious. Like, I think today was the first day I stopped getting like threats and stuff on Twitter for that. But I'm going to continue trolling him a little bit just for the joy of it. I have fun being Skip Jayless. I think
you do have too much fun doing it.
I honestly, in my head, I was like, what would Skip Bayless say about LeBron James right now if he was devising a tweet? And I was like, you know what? He missed 5 free throws in a game that his team lost by 5 points. So I'm going to call him malnourished Andre Drummond.
Okay, but in his second game.
But he's amazing.
Answer the question genuinely.
Even the first game, his defense was next level. Like, just blocked everything. Nobody was scoring on him at the rim. And he had a couple plays where he's 7-5 and dribbling the ball up the court and firing left-handed passes for assists. And then in the second game, he added the shooting on top of that, had a couple of dunks that were just like, how does that man reach over that other man that easily? So he's going to be far more than fine. He's going to be unbelievable. And I don't think there was nothing from either of those performances, even the first one when he didn't shoot well, that had me like, you know what, this guy might have a bad year. I do think the offense will be behind the defense. And he shot 27% overseas on threes, kind of takes some pretty shitty shots sometimes. And I think he's probably going to take some pretty shitty shots in the NBA too, and as he just kind of experiments and learns how to grow into his body and learns how to kind of use all of his powers. But eventually that dude is going to be special.
Was there anyone else you saw at Summer League that you was like, ooh, maybe we should take note of them? Any rookies? I know Scoot got hurt. Amen Thompson got hurt. But was
the
there
Thompson
else?
Brothers, the Thompson brothers are good. Scoot is good. Jairus Walker is good. Chet Holmgren is good.
Ooh, Chet. I forgot. It's the first Chet sighting we've had.
Yeah, Chet was killing. And Chet, it took him like a half to wipe off the rust from being out for a year, and then he was just blocking everything, dunking everything. passing everything. He's going to be a great addition to Oklahoma City. I think they're going to be very tough. And then the Rockets young players, they have a lot of good young talent. Tari Eason, Jabari Smith, Thompson, like they have a lot of good young talent over there. I'm a big Rockets guy now.
Oh, there you go.
As one does.
That's going to do it for us here at the Anything is Potable Summer League Analysis Factory. That was a dumb way to say things.
Summer League Analysis Factory.
You can't make fun of me when I stepped in and fell on the sword
myself.
We are
here in the Summer League Analysis Factory.
Yeah, I got nothing. I said something stupid, and now I feel stupid. And everyone is stupider for having listened to it. I award myself 0 points. May have God mercy on all of our souls.
The Summer League Analysis Factory here with Sam Jam Packard in the Summer League Analysis Factory.
Anything's potable, folks. Jay, you're kind of a jerk.